Welcome to the Certainty Roundtable podcast, designed for those advisory teams preparing for the fast emerging new era of financial advice in Australia. Hosted by Jim Stackpool, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with over 30 years experience advising advisory firms, the Certainty Roundtable podcast brings together the growing group of Certainty Advice firms as they share their insights, experiences, as they attract, attain, price and manage their valuable advice clients and advisory teams. Now, here is your host, Jim Stackpool.
G'day, Jim Stackpool here with another in our roundtable series talking about alliances. For the 30 years I've been working with financial planning, financial advisory firms, referrals have grown the bulk of these firms. And so building a consistent, specific and methodical approach to actually get referrals from alliances is really, really crucial. I think even more so in some ways than referrals from clients, because referrals from alliances, particularly like-minded and aligned alliances, helps us to grow in a quality way rather than simply in a quantity way. But how do we do this consistently, specifically, and methodically, and make sure it works long-term? That's what this session's about. Check it out. Okay, so again, I think this whole concept of third-party alliances, I truly believe in the 30 years that I've been working with a certainty, well, advisory firms, I should say, the growth of their firm has come fundamentally from referrals, either referrals from clients or referrals from alliances. Now, referrals from alliances is a much faster, speedier way to grow and develop, provided there's alignment. But as with all things, we don't grow at different rates. And so quite often we outgrow our alliances. Sometimes they outgrow us, but quite often we outgrow our alliances and their ability to continually refer to us ideal clients. And I think we are in a fascinating stage, I think, of financial advice at the moment where most are suffering capacity problems, our ability to deliver. And so building alliances that therefore enhance and enable us to deliver the right sort of client whilst not exceeding our capacity is really quite important. And that's the element we've got here today. So any experience with alliances?
I do like to keep on growing it and having that as part of the value proposition when we're referring out. Referring in can be a little bit harder because we don't kind of say yes to all clients. We're sort of, I guess, work with particular clients.
I think Joel's raising a good point there is that quite often alliances is one-way traffic and that we may be, because we need an estate planning specialist, we need a financing specialist, a property specialist, a mortgage brokering specialist, an accounting specialist. Quite often we're giving work out, but how often is it coming in? And I think the intent of this conversation now is what are the tools, the repertoire, the approach, the steps, if even, to manage that more effectively so we start getting them in. There's no doubt as a certainty advisor delivering comprehensive advice and being a principal advisor, which is core to everything we do, you need alliances as we don't have the expertise, qualifications, or even the regulations sometimes to give advice on certain aspects of the client's comprehensive financial life. But getting it coming the other way, that's what this session is all about. The most ideal way to start managing an alliance relationship is when we're introduced by the client. So when we have a new client, we fundamentally believe there needs to be a consistent, methodical approach to ensure, if it's a comprehensive client, obviously, we reach out and understand who are the alliances if we're not already working with them. So that's the preferred approach in terms of starting this management process. It's via the client. It's not cold, which is the third approach. The second is when we get introduced to an alliance via our networks, whether it's B&I networks, whether it's just people in town, and particularly this is where the Bush Telegraph does work more for us in those regional provincial areas and sometimes the city areas. And so I want to cover some steps that covers all three of those points, whether we get them via the most preferred approach, which is a common client, or whether we get them via network, or whether you're doing it cold, and which is the hardest approach. But again, as with everything we try and do with certainty advice, we want to make it consistent, specific, and methodical, so there's not just a when I get around to it, this is something that then needs to be managed. And so in going through these approaches, there's a number of different steps. The best way we find is client provides the contact in the introduction. We then make contact with that alliance or network. We follow up that contact. We then catch up or meet or share client information. Now, if we're not getting a client to give us the introduction, we can't share client information, but we want to share something else. I want to cover that. We explore options about how we may or may not wish to move beyond the client or be actually trying to start getting some work between us. We then, if we're getting some interest, we initiate some due diligence. We may even go into further due diligence, which is what we call a step seven there. We do an alliance discovery. And then for this thing to work and not just have fits and bursts, we must have an alliance plan. Just like you've got a business plan, we need an alliance plan, ideally kept on a page that's managing the alliance relationship and the common clients we may be working with. And we think also really crucial to the whole steps, particularly today when people are checking us out in many more ways than what they may have heard on the grapevine, is we must build some alliance IP. But this is something we believe is necessary when we have a new client come on board with us and they've literally just signed the terms of engagement or re-signed a letter of engagement, whatever we call it. And we initiate this sort of conversation where we say, look, it's important to our service offering to collaborate with your other professional advisors. They may already have an accountant, they may already have a finance or mortgage broker provider, they may already have a contact with an estate provider, estate planning lawyer. And so this obviously based upon the assumption it's okay for us to share information that you've provided us with your other advisors. And if they say, no, we want you just to be not to share anything with our other advisors, then this doesn't work, this step. If the client says, no, I don't want you to share that stuff with my existing accountant, I don't want you to share that stuff with my other brokers that you've learned about during our engagement process. And if they are, would you be able to give us a contact details and give us an introduction to those other advisors, your other accountants, your other people that you've already been in your life before, we've come in your life to act as your advisor. And then we actually suggest to them the most effective way of doing this is to you give them a heads up via email or text or call that we're going to be in contact and then we're going to follow up and follow up on that contact. This will enable us best to serve in terms of working with them. And so we're not trying to step on anyone's toes because it's the client's decision, but that proactive step with existing clients and asking that question during a fact find is absolutely crucial. So this step two, this is what we say. So now we're reaching out to the alliance. I'm such and such with this firm. We share a common client. Our understanding is they've both enjoyed a respective relationship with you. We aim to meet and introduce ourselves. Now, sometimes now in the age of Zoom, we meet over Zoom with this person. So the client's giving us an introduction. We use something like this script, this model. So here we have a common client. I'm with so-and-so advisor. We share that common client. And as I was saying, this is simply an approach to reach out. Our aim is to get together, to meet, whether Zoom, ideally even face-to-face. They've shared our contact details. And in our discussions when we get together, I want to share with you a brief overview of the work we're going to be doing with our common client, as well as discuss and approach beliefs about future financial advice. Would a meeting, telephone hookup be best? So it's a quick call, ideally set up by our common client. Now, if we don't have a common client, if you're reaching out to someone through a BNI network or another relationship, then we don't use the part in this approach which talk about a common client. I'm reaching, say, I want to share information about how we work with clients. Do you have time, interest to share that via Zoom or whatever? And so the differences here is we still believe whether the contact has come from a client ideally or it hasn't come from a client, which is another network, we use their name, or if it's cold, we're not using a network, nor are we using a client. We're simply reaching out and saying, we'd like to share information about how we work with clients. Would a Zoom meeting or would a face-to-face be worthwhile? Australians hate stalkers, and so we try three or four times, probably no more than three, I should say, by phone before we give it up and we send a note saying we're trying to leave a message to talk about how we may work together, if possible. We then go back to our client and say, we tried to contact your accountant and they never came back. Just leave it and mention it in the next review.
Yeah, so if I'm sort of reaching out more cold, because I'm just starting my practice, is it worth adding a line in about there might be some mutual opportunities or referral opportunities, try and sort of whet their appetite?
I think most people, Lucien, have been hit by lots of financial advisors and mortgage brokers and all sorts of people. And I think ideally it's then by giving them some information about how you operate. But yeah, you might put another line in there. But most accountants, particularly if they're going to be the referral source, maybe not every mortgage broker or lawyer, but they're busy and they need some way to discern, is it worthwhile catching up with you? This is step three. So now whether we've got in front of somebody or whether we haven't or we're trying to get in front of someone, we then share three or four bits of information. Now, Angie, if you wouldn't mind sharing now a sample advice map and maybe a sample toe. Mm-hmm. And maybe a sample advice path. Mm-hmm. And so we think that when you've made that initial contact, it's important to differentiate. And so we would, and this, what we're saying here is, here's an email that goes out after we've tried to make a contact. And we try and, here's our positioning clips. So we use some video that we built. Whether you've written papers or white papers, things like rugby league players or focus into specific medicos. So something that positions you, or if not, if you haven't written papers or not sharing podcasts or you're not sharing blogs, something that also positions what you do. Just a blank advice map. Advice path, I should say, showing you do things slightly differently and putting people on a path. And this is the sort of IP, it's just a standard set of IP, or a TOE, terms of engagement, or even potentially an advice map. If you actually, this is the key point, we think, Joel, that when you're trying to differentiate, it is important when you're sharing a common client, you share the client's advice map. And so I wouldn't be sharing a TOE over the, before we actually get in front of them, but I would be sharing the client's advice map or some other IP connection to your website, blogs, podcasts, books you've written, or white papers. And then when we actually do get together, and here is the discussion, we're getting together. If it is a common client you're discussing with a potential alliance, so the client has given you an introduction, I'm now meeting with the client via Zoom or face-to-face, and here is where I do share, if it's a client introduction, here's the client's advice map. Here's the client's terms of engagement. Here's the client's advice path. And so again, you're differentiating how you operate. You're not coming in with a detailed SOA, no way. You're coming in with how you either produce a map, a path, or if you're a certainty advice, on the certainty advice approach, these are common tools. If you haven't got those tools yet, but you will be developing them and delivering them to your client, we can give you examples to use, particularly when you're going in and you're not talking about a common client. You may be talking about this is the approach and you're trying to demonstrate your approach by using a sample, anonymous map, an anonymous path, and an anonymous toe. So I think most of us on this, well, depends upon how much you're into the certainty advice approach and whether you have adopted this totally. But if you don't have a map, just use a path. If you don't have a path, just use a map. If you don't have a map or a path, just use a toe. The fundamental driver is you. You've got to make a decision, we believe. Do you proceed, once you've actually had that Zoom or presented your toe, your map, your path, or presented your white papers, or presented your blogs, or talked about your differentiator, you make a decision, is this someone actually want to continue a relationship with? And you're just telling this by the 20-minute Zoom or by your conversation with them about a common client. And if it's not someone you actually, I'm not too sure if this is going to work for us, a different sort of demographic, different sort of client base, different sort of mentality or culture, we use the script on the left saying, thanks very much. It was great to meet with you. If anything, we're going to have to do to hesitate to call us. But if you think there was an opportunity for us to further a conversation, maybe work with other clients, maybe if they're interested to know more about what it is that you do and how you got that, how you built those maps and why you have that approach. Now, not every engagement or every conversation is going to actually, let's actually proceed to the next step. So it is really important in this meeting or soon after you say, look, thanks very much. We'll help you if you need it on a reactive basis, but on a proactive basis, if there is, we then go to the next steps. Just really, as you do with your clients, just the first to call isn't going to be make sure we're a client together and advise a client relationship. We actually want to do more steps. And the next steps after this decision is we then want to do more due diligence. And so we then say, look, I'd like to come back or set up another Zoom and ask you questions like this. And so if there was an interest, if you think there is a potential opportunity, it's up to us not to show them what we do. It's up to us to understand why it might make sense. And this is a really key part when we're forging alliances. We're not just if they fog a mirror and they're an accountant, they're an opportunity. No, it's for us to determine, does it make sense for us to forge something that might be collaboratively beneficial to both businesses? For us to do that, we don't believe it's important now. Once you've sparked their interest by showing you how you operate with a map or a path or a toe or your blog or your podcast, it's then for us to determine why does it make sense long-term by us doing more due diligence on them with these series of questions. As you can see, there's some 1 to 11 questions. We suggest these are recorded. We suggest you're coming in and you're finding out why does it make sense for us from your perspective about where you're seeing advice going, what are your personal views on advice, and having a question set like this. So I'm not going forward, let's start sharing clients. I want to find out a bit more about the firm before I then go to that point. And so, but we then even suggest to go further. And you might say, look, But really this whole being successful on purpose and really getting down to the nitty gritty of what's running that firm. If you come through those 13 questions and think, look, there is good interest for us to work moving forward. We then suggest this form, we go into even a deeper discovery on one member. So if it's a multiple partner, accounting firm, legal firm, mortgage broker, we suggest you only deal with one or maybe two at most. So in some of these multi-advisory firms where they say, let's get all our partners together, you come and present to them. No, no, no. You actually want to just deal with one partner in a multi-advisor firm, and you may go further from there. Your partner who has the interest in the particular client. Resist any temptation too early to come and present to too many partners, because I can tell you now that only at the very, very most in multi-partner firms, only a third to 25% of partners will get what it is that you do. And quite often they all work in their own, like barristers' chambers own in their own hollow. So suggesting keeping a focus on one partner, we then pull out what we call the alliance discovery, a deeper discovery, where we do one of these certainty maps that we use for clients. But you build a certainty map that we've built for SMEs. And again, if you get to this stage and you're going through the process to get, tell me a lot more now and a lot of deeper sense about where the firm's going, where you're going in the firm, what's blocking you in that, what's fundamentals to you about that. If you're getting to this stage, then maybe give us a call and let's help you get ready for those conversations with those particular alliance partners. Because all you're doing is really now getting, why does it make sense for us in a bigger holistic sense in their career, their business, where they're up to a certain stage, for us potentially to share clients together and work. Again, it's another demonstration that we don't want to just jump into any alliance. I want to actually do the homework to fundamentally align any work we do with where you are going in your career within this accounting firm, finance brokerage, mortgage brokerage group. So that's a deeper dive, pretty rare, but I think eventually over a period of time, it's going to become more and more important for us to do effectively. Good questions, Greg. We're suggesting right here that, yeah, take them through. Take them through as if they were a client. Let me demonstrate to you what the process is and I'll take you through the process. Obviously, you've had to done some groundwork to get their time to sit down for that half an hour, 45 minutes to even an hour. But there's no better way, we think, of really getting clients to understand you and how you operate than by taking your process, but using an SME certainty map, not the personal one. Just take it to them and show it to them without, obviously, you're not trying to sign them up, you're not trying to make them a client, you're just trying to demonstrate this is how we operate.
A lot of our alliances as well.
Good, okay, thanks Amber. Yep, and I think as Amber's saying there, this whole relationship is continual and ongoing, and it also needs to be managed. And so this is where we would say that when you do start, and so coming up probably something I should have shared right at the beginning, what's an alliance? An alliance is someone that generally is giving you a referral on average at least once a month or maybe once every 2 months, as compared to the casual loose relationship, you might get one or two a year. So an alliance is someone that consistently comes to you, they might come at a flurry, but you're getting a consistency from 6 to 12 introductions per year, at least from a certain group that complementary in nature. And when you are getting that level of inquiry or that level of flow, we think a plan is absolutely crucial that's talked about, that's kept alive, that talks about the clients you're working on, the progress the clients are making, what's the capacity they're hoping to achieve from us, and maybe more referrals coming through, making sure we're meeting that capacity, where you're setting up some sort of client feedback on net promoter scores, are the clients satisfied with the services, the collaboration. We need to have a plan, and like any client plan, for this to be alive and well and develop and grow as you grow and they grow, it needs to be maintained with potentially even half yearly or quarterly get-togethers. What do you expect? Where have we done well? Where haven't we done too well? What have we learnt by working on common clients? What have you learnt? So the need then to work that, because in some ways you've got two clients here. You've got the alliance partner as a client and their clients as clients, and respecting those both. In no way you were saying we are now the principal advisor. No way you're suggesting that the client will make the decision about who they see as their principal. But without a plan and just consistently thinking it's going to occur and making sure we're meeting expectations, that's where we need to get it on a one-page plan. Again, if you need further assistance, what does that plan look like? How do we manage it? What are the key elements of it? What's the KPIs of it? How do we grow it? How do we develop it? Yep, let's reach out and we'll give you more detail than I've got time for today. The ninth step is building your IP. And so building alliance IP. And so potentially, as this slide is showing, you collaborate together on research papers on specific and common niches. And so whether you're working in the medico space or the expat space, or you're working in the farming space, or you're working in a retiree set in a certain geographic area, let's build some research papers together using common clients, bring clients in for lunches, talk about our findings, what are the needs, the fears, the wants, the desires, the returns. Let's actually start promoting our collaboration by producing some joint IP, and by producing white papers, by doing common podcasts. Just thinking about building, if it is a solid alliance and then needs to be continually built, putting time into building IP for that solid alliance is also really crucial. Again, something we've done quite a lot of. Whether it's positioning, then capturing video stories about common clients and getting the clients to talk about what is the benefits that we've got an aligned accountant and an aligned advisory firm, or an aligned finance broker and an aligned advisory firm. And ideally also getting, as this slide is showing us, let's actually get our alliances on video and talking to our clients about how important it is for us to be aligned and getting that testimonial video. There's nothing like short clips, 2 to 3 seconds, from alliance partners talking about their experiences to help you build other alliance partnerships as well. Really important. It's not step 9 for the any other reasons. It's saying it needs to be there if we expect to have a healthy, growing, developing alliance relationship.
The biggest thing with the alliance is building a team of people that are like-minded with your business as well, and building a relationship. So that seems to work really well with us.
Mm-hmm.
And with what you were just presenting before, we've used that on legal firms, and they've had a lot of business come back too. So sort of spending the time getting to understand the tools that you have in place and then how to deliver that has really helped us.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Roundtable podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access the material from today's show or to join in the conversation, head to www.certaintyadvicegroup.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions and opinions. Working together, we hope to achieve a lot more for more Australians. CertaintyAdviceGroup.com.